This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
How do business people in general feel about Donald Trump's election to president? Our guest is Mr. Carl Waddenston, the head of Vibeco Vibrators, operating out of Wyoming, Rhode Island, also a member of the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation. Let me please start off by asking you to give us just a snapshot of the company.
Yeah, so we're a mid-sized manufacturer in Rhode Island, and we manufacture industrial vibration equipment that's used both in construction, food, pharmaceutical, and mining. So anything that needs to be shaken, we're kind of doing the shaking. And as a Rhode Island manufacturing company, we deal with over 360,000 people globally.
Your manufacturing facilities are all here. You just have customers all over the
world. We have customers all over. We have a facility in Canada. You know, we have some licensees in the UK and Australia, but the main manufacturing is done in Rhode Island. Yes, Mark.
In this post-election period, there is uncertainty about what a Trump administration would mean for business. Business people, like many of us, don't like uncertainty. You're planning for 2017 with your budget and your priorities. Where are you at this point?
You know, we spoke a little bit, Dave, before the show on this. And any business person today in this century that we're in, there are so many variables. And change of political regime is a big variable, right? So we don't want to react quickly, but we'd like to see some type of plans so we know, is the U.S. the place that we want to invest in? Are we going to be more competitive in other countries, you know, to sell products? So there's so many variables. So I'm taking a more wait-and-see approach, because I don't want to make any wrong moves. I want to see what the playing field's going to be with us and how the U.S. is going to stack up in global competition.
We were talking, I mean, obviously the introduction and what spurred us on here is the election. We have a president who made manufacturing jobs a key point of his campaign. What do you think is necessary in order for manufacturing to thrive, both in, you know, in the United States, but also are there things specific to Rhode Island that you think need to happen in order for that to occur?
We compete on a global basis, so we have a lot of global competitors, and some in countries where labor is very cheap and regulations are very, very minimal, if any. So what happens is it starts commoditizing markets, and not that we want restraint of trade, but we want some kind of equity. And then we have countries that are industrialized as well, some of the European countries, that they can super accelerate capital investments. So here we are in the U.S. competing against this, so we need some kind of platform and mechanisms to get an even playing field.
The dollar has been strengthening, and in fact is strengthening more now in anticipation of rising interest rates. The strengthening dollar might be good for people going on vacation to Europe, but it's not so good for you, is it?
Yeah, it's not so good for us because, you know, the total cost of ownership, anybody that's looking to buy U.S. products and bring it into their country, they have transportation, they have the cost of the dollar and a lot of other vehicles. But with the strengthening of the dollar as well, I haven't seen it shift that much because we talked earlier that there are a lot of Rhode Island companies that just dealing in Canada have installations in Canada. And that's why we have a large office up there that does small things and is a warehouse. And right now the Canadian dollar is trading at 135. So to repatriatize money just that short distance to Canada, it's a disadvantage to us. And we've been watching this go up significantly. So I'd like to see the U.S. dollar strengthen because you'll see more companies, repatriatize money and reinvest in the U.S.
What about relations business-wise with China? We've been hearing from the Trump campaign prior to the election about a very aggressive policy towards China. And where do you think we should go on that?
I studied engineering and business in school. I didn't study poli-sci. So the knee-jerk reaction is, you know, China has its place, but it has a lot of things that make it hard for companies to compete with China. It also is a great place for products to be made. Their quality is coming up. Me personally, as a person, some of the working conditions that they put people under and some of the things, how they use human resources, is kind of against my DNA, but that's their government decision. That's their country decision.
In the presidential campaign, especially from the Trump side, there were a lot of negatives attached to U.S. manufacturing. What's your view of the state of manufacturing nationally and in Rhode Island?
Well, manufacturing in the U.S., you know, in the early part of the 80s and 90s, we found this great resource, and some before that, we found this great resource, China, to make things inexpensive. And we abandoned our core values and went over there instead of reinvesting in our people and our processes, saying we can make it cheaper there. So manufacturing right now is waiting to see what happens with the new policies. So we're waiting to see, are they going to stand behind us here and make legislation that we can all work with and that we can reinvest in our companies here? And I think the U.S. has one chance to become the global leader again in manufacturing.
And Rhode Island?
And Rhode Island? I think that Rhode Island has, you know, been a leader in innovation, been a leader in manufacturing. We need to figure out what our real genius is and get behind that as far as public policy.
Now, manufacturing, contemporary manufacturing is changing.
Yes.
And what's your view of that change and where it's going?
Yeah, and as I said earlier, Mark will attest to this, I think, too, with all the people that, you know, are part of the PBN family, is that we need people to be problem solvers. You just don't come in. I don't care where your ranks are in an organization, whether you're frontline working on the floor, whether you're middle management, whether you're engineering. We need you to be a critical thinker and a problem solver. And that takes a lot of education and a lot of awareness. And if we don't do those kind of things and do the same old, we're not going to get different results.
Much was made of the unemployed Rust Belt manufacturing employee. What can they really expect? Can they expect their old jobs back?
Well, you know, I just came back from Detroit. I spent 10 days in Detroit, brought 50 presidents to Detroit, and we toured Detroit. There's so many small cottage industries picking up all over, but it's not going to employ all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of workers there. But they're trying to do things. They're trying to innovate these things. So we need the next big things that the U.S. is going to do. The Detroits, the Pittsburghs, all these places that have been a byproduct of steel going outside, auto manufacturing, and the big things. There aren't many big monster things that employ the people, I think, like in the old days.
Well, manufacturing is so much more capital intensive now anyway.
Yes.
I mean, it's automated. So you can produce the same amount of steel with a fraction of the number of steel workers that you had before. So to a certain degree, modernization is making sure those jobs aren't coming back. Even if the companies are healthy, they're producing as much as they used to, it's just different. And robotics on car manufacturing lines, we've all seen the pictures. I mean, robots are doing all the welding and the assembly and everything else in large manner.
But you need smart people to run all this stuff.
You do.
And it doesn't mean that you need degreed people. You need smart people that are intuitive and understand this. And automation isn't a bad thing for industry. It is not a bad thing at all, because if you go back to the Henry Ford days, some of the things that they did on those assembly lines were a gross waste of human talent and just beating up on people's bodies, not intentionally,
right,
but just really, really hard labor. And as we take hard labor out of things and start mechanizing and automating, then we still have to start using our brains.
And that's where we will have to leave things. Vibeco Vibrators head Carl Waddenston has been the guest on The Bottom Line this time around. Thanks for your input.
Thank you.
And thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great as always to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.